What's up, angels? It's your girl, Adine Howard. Make sure you tune in to the Honey Lounge with Teddy Bear, Tuesday through Friday, 1 through 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
March I did two gigs this year, one in Alabama with the Atlanta Pops Orchestra, and before that I did one up in Wisconsin. And then we were on March 12th. I was bringing the suitcase up because I had been laying my clothes out for the prior 3 days, getting ready for a long tour. We were meant to have a 12-city tour in the Netherlands. And so as I was bringing my suitcase upstairs to put the clothes in it, and that's when I got an email from my manager, and I was expecting it, actually. And she said that my agency over in Holland said the government had stopped all of the gatherings of more than 10 people. And then actually it started out, no gatherings more than 1,000 people. And then we went, wow, well, in a certain district. And we went, wow, we'll just barely squeak through down there on those shows. And then it was, you know what? We're shutting everything down. So fortunately, that happened the day before we were to leave. But that's 12 shows. And then, of course, I was on the 16th of this month that just passed, we were scheduled to go to Memphis to a performing arts center there and perform. And, of course, that was shut down, and we have some other dates and so forth. I'm listening to California guy say, the governor there say, it'll probably be a year before things are up and running there again as far as concerts and so forth. Well, we have a lot of dates in California usually. But you know what? I was just grateful. I was grateful I wasn't stuck out of town. And then as far as the staying at home, my husband and I live this way all the time. We don't have, we live this way all the time. It's just the two of us. We don't have children. And we have friends, but we only see them just rarely, because usually, you know, when you travel all the time on the road, you're not in a hurry to go out somewhere. So we usually sit in this house. My husband loves to cook, so he does all the cooking, and if we're going to celebrate something, we celebrate it together and just enjoy it, even if it means dressing up and wearing house shoes. You know, we just have our own little lives together. And of course, most of the people know that my husband is my drummer, so we're always together. So this is not a problem for us. And once in a while, when I want a big day out during the 2 months that we have now been home, he'll go to Costco or to Whole Foods somewhere, and he'll say, "You want a ride?" And I'll ride in the car, and I'll stay inside the car and play Scrabble on my iPad and wait for him to come out. That's my life right now. I'm good with that. That's what I've been doing. But the reason why I can do it is this, is that I made peace with myself a long time ago. And I'm a thinker, and I love, I thank God that he gave me the gift of music. And we've been working on music for our church to try to help them by playing some hymns, because when you're suddenly forced into doing your worshiping online, if you haven't been prepared for that, that might be difficult. And John and I have all the equipment that, where we can record stuff and send it in and have them, put it up on Facebook, and I'll play the hymns. And I find it just brings me so much peace to I get up early in the morning. I can get up the other day I got up at like 5:30 or 5:45, and I played hymns for 6 hours. I was trying to get it just right. But even though I was sleep deprived, it was just calming to just, just, and then my studio is such that I'm looking out the back, there are all windows, and I'm looking at our garden coming in, watching stuff come in. We have Japanese maples, we have some, you know, vines and stuff, you know, and we have some boxwoods and a lot of hostas and ajuga. The ajuga is purple right now, and I mean, we have all this different stuff coming up, and I'm not afraid to hear me think, and I'm not afraid to just sit still and let that voice reach my heart.
Well, it definitely resonates with your music, having that kind of serenity. How much does that play an integral part in your music?
Oh, very much so. One of the things that I love about my husband is that he has a quirky sense of humor. He's the jokester. He's the one who makes me laugh so much. Ever since I was a child, I was always so serious. You know, all of this, all of this thinking that I'm doing about songs, about the meaning of this, about the meaning of that. Because when I perform, I try to find the thing that you can relate to. And I can't do that if I don't take time to listen to you and to observe the things that you say and watch what you do. And if I somehow try to interpret your feelings, your emotions, or some of the things you're going through, it will resonate with you if it's authentic. And so it has to be real for me. I mean, you know, I have nothing against the fun music, you know, the rap music and the hip-hop music or the pop music. That's just fun for just having fun. I love playing grown-up songs. I just really do, because it just stays there, you know. And I come from that generation. Remember when we had the LPs and, you know, oh, wow. First of all, we take the cover. The cover had stories on the back, you know. And you would sit there, because it's raining in Kansas City today, and you would sit there on the sofa or in your favorite chair or in the bed or wherever, and you would read that cover and listen to that music, and it would, remember when it was done, that the arm would lift up, and then it and then it would go back, and you'd play that again and again and again, and you'd sit there and you'd just think, those are great days. That's
without
what I
question.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot more substance and meaning and music during that particular
Thank
time
you.
In the industry. Yeah, absolutely, without question. And as you just said, and I want, because a lot of times I'll get different emails from various listeners saying, well, you're kind of biased about today's music. And I said, no, not at all. I said, there has to be a balance. I said, everything has its place and its time, but at the same time, can you please bring something, can you please present something to the listeners that has substance and meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I can wrap myself around in, like Linus's blanket, that's going to keep me safe, keep me sound. Said having that album cover where you can read the liner notes, or like you were fascinated about all the different musicians that took part in making this wonderful album. And it's like today everything is digital. Let's go here. There's one song, no albums anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's amazing to me how we've digressed so greatly, for we had set a level of excellence as far as an artist, and now we're just willing to accept anything because they're catering to the youth. And
mm-hmm.
the youth, they want a beat. There's nothing else to give them any It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. I asked you this before, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Do you think musically here in the States that we have become somewhat spoiled and unappreciative of real artists that really take the time to go in the studio and put their heart and soul in this music and present it to us? Do you think we become spoiled with that here in the States?
Well, I don't think it's so much spoiled. We have music because of technology. It's just so much that is available. I think, if anything, we're overwhelmed. And the thing that I'm disappointed in is that when things opened up to where you can do your own thing and discover your own music instead of having it fed to you, it's people are impatient. You know, they don't want to discover things for themselves. They want it fed to them. You know, quick, everything is quick. Fast food. John and I sit and talk about this all the time. He loves cooking, and for him, it's a whole process. He doesn't just throw something on the stove. No, you have to. You have the whole experience of going shopping for it. Even before that, he goes through so many recipes. And then he shops for the ingredients. And then when it's time to cook, that's joy for him. And he wants to live through the whole thing with a glass of wine. And before the dinner, while he's cooking, and some great, wonderful conversation at the same time to talk about our whole day, what we've been experiencing. People aren't like that. I noticed that they're ordering food, by the way, send it to me, but send it to me all picked out ahead of time and chopped up, right, so that all I got to do is throw it in a cup or throw it in a microwave. You're missing so much of you know, the whole experience, and that's what I say with music, is that there needs to be this, you know, a savoring of the experience. And that's the problem. That's why this thing happened, is for us to finally experience what it's like to slow down again. I'm hoping out of this whole situation that people will rediscover what it is and change their schedules and live more. I mean, when I say live, I don't mean necessarily moving around, but staying put, to savor. And there's great music out there. It's just that I think Europeans, I know a lot of the places I've been, they savor the music. Think about the Italians. Oh, my goodness. They know all those librettos. They know the operas. They know the arias. They know the story behind it. They know, you know, so much. Here, it's like, throw something at me right quick, and then I'm on to the next hottest thing. That's the problem.
Instant gratification. Very microwavable.
Right.
Society. Without question. Every artist of your ilk that I've had the pleasure of conversing with, they've always said in their travels, touring outside the United States, whether it's Japan, Switzerland, Germany, they have such a greater appreciation and respect for the music, where they still music stores out there where you can buy albums, 45s, and they read the liner notes. And when an artist comes on stage to perform, they know word for word, and it's amazing that you see that level of appreciation that they still hold a higher standard for an artist. For you, you've had an opportunity to travel. What has it been like for you when you do go to various places outside the United States and receive that kind of love and adulation at your performances?
It's always such a joy. And, you know, this is the thing, I don't know how to put this in the words, I'm going to try. This is a thing that most of our fans and people that listen to my music, to our music as an artist, that they don't think about. We don't walk around every day in visualizing thousands or, you know, a lot of people listening to us every day. You sort of put it out there and then you forget about it. You don't expect that as you pull up to a light when you're driving that you're going to hear yourself being played. So it's just, it's always a surprise when you go to some place like South Africa and they're singing all the words of a song that you wrote, or they're singing something that you made popular that you covered. And then you go to the Netherlands and they're doing the same thing there, or in England or in South America, or on all of the, in the Caribbean. It's just amazing. Or from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they're bringing up songs or your personal favorites that you think nobody has really paid attention to, and then there's that one person in the audience that comes up and starts, you know, saying, you know, only to know, my jam is Long Distance Love. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think anybody paid attention to that. And, you know, and that's the one that I would be singing over and over, you know. I mean, wow. It's always so gratifying. It is just really wonderful when you can think that. But I think the thing that touches my heart the most is when they come up and they say that you've helped them through a difficult time. That's when it has the greatest meaning of all. And that's what I want to be, is a help to get people through those difficult times. That means so very much to me.
Well, you have a birthday coming up. And I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that you've learned about yourself being in the industry for such a long, extended period of time? If you could go back in a time machine, maybe let's say 20 years, and the Olita Adams of today had an opportunity to speak to that Olita Adams 20 years ago, what would be some of the things that you would talk about to help her, I guess, prepare for her journey through life and also through music?
Oh, wow. I think I'd first of all tell her to calm down a lot sooner. I tell her that everything's going to be all right. Just calm down. I'm a lot more calmer now than I was then. You know, it took me so long to make it that I thought it just wasn't going to happen. And here I am. This is my, 49th year of being in the business. And I'm turning 67, but I still feel the same. And I see through some of the same eyes. It's just that I'm not so frantic about it. And I've just really relaxed so much. And that's what I'd say. I'd say relax and do what you really, really love. And don't worry about, you know, so much of the business side of it. I learned quickly not to get too undone over changes, because in this business there's a lot of changes that take place day to day. From the day they discover you, there's going to be some changes. When they sign you and tell you you've got a 7 record deal, first of all, don't believe it, and second of all, You sign it, but it's not worth the paper it's written on. You know what I mean?
Written on.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if they tell you that you're a big hit, don't pay no attention to that. Don't pay any attention whatsoever. Just sing. And just,
yes.
And the thing that you do is what I did. I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I want to work. I want a job. That's it. I'm not telling you how big the audience has to be. I want a job. And he's kept me working all those years. That's when your head's in the right place. Because I couldn't keep up with these. If I had to dance and do all of that stuff, and I love dancing, but I can't dance like, you know, J-Lo and Beyonce and Kelly. What's her name? All of these people that's dancing around, you got to have all these great big troops and all that. That's not me. That's too much to have to be responsible for. It's just, it's bad enough with a small group of, you know, three or four more guys. I'm not in that. It's like, let me just sing. And it's worked out, you know, it's worked out well for me.
Well, I've always said, my queen, in the midst of chaos, your music has always found a place to bring a sense of peace. And speaking of a sense of peace, let's get into it. The new hit single from the legendary Bill Adams, Place of Peace, here in the zone of L.O.T.O. Radio.
Are possible.
the legendary Willie Adams' newest single plays a bass. You're in the zone of Odeo Rico. And remember, family, the new single is available as we speak via iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Deezer. But if you're feeling a little bit more adventurous, you can always purchase it on Amazon.com. And to get all the latest updates, be sure you stop by Miss Adams' official website at OlitaAdams.com. But also make sure you follow her and support her on Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/TheOfficialOlita. And the same for Facebook and also for Twitter. My queen, it's definitely been a pleasure. Hopefully very soon when all this is passed, you will actually come down to Houston. We would love to have you come in the studio and perform. And I want to thank you so much again, because it is always an honor and a privilege for you to come on the show. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been so generous of you. Thank you.